And I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin. Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning, Ilan, and how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing good, thank God. And how is your Pesach?
The Pesach was good.
That's good.
The Pesach is behind us.
now we look to the other holidays. We look now to Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, and Lag BaOmer.
Yeah.
And
there is always something to celebrate.
And Shavuot, so it's we're busy now.
And by the way, this week is Yom HaShoah.
That's right. That's right. On Sunday, the big program at the Shar. So
yeah,
that will be beautiful. That will be good.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we're back on to our regular
Parsha,
which is Parshat Shmini. And the, you know, on the eighth day following the seventh day of the inauguration, Aaron and his sons begin to officiate as the Kohanim, as the priests, and a fire issues forth from God to consume the offerings on the altar, and his divine presence comes down in stone and dwells in the sanctuary. We learn the laws of kosher. God commands the kosher laws as identifying specific species of what we're allowed to and what we're not allowed to eat. And it's very, very interesting, this week's Torah portion, because it goes, you know, from so many different perspectives. You have the idea of the divine presence coming down. You have the idea of kosher. You have the idea of Moses and Aaron becoming now officially the priest, and so on. And so now the nation waits with anxious anticipation, and you know, they knew what to expect. They'd seen the drill for 7 days. The tabernacle structure would be erected. Its vessels will be put into place, and the sacrifice is lifted onto the altar. They've been practicing this till this day of 7 days, you know, of practicing until that the actual God, the divine presence, is going to come down and make that into a holy place. But today, things are going to be different. Though Moses had practiced the procedure for 7 days, that only today, on the eighth day, would God's presence finally descend, hugging the tabernacle with the clouds of glory. Now, meanwhile, Moses and Aaron worked diligently to prepare the tabernacle for the operation. At last, they're ready to perform the final step, which is the sacrificial offering. Now, the offering would be a culmination of all the collective efforts and contributions of the Jewish people. And that would bring down the divine presence into the tabernacle. Now, why does Moses talk to Aaron like, do this, go exactly do this, do
ordering,
that?
Ordering him.
Right. At this point, the Torah makes us, you know, very privy to an unusual conversation between Moses and Aaron. Because Moses tells Aaron, approach the altar and carry out your sin offering and your burnt offering. All the commentators ask the simple question, is why did Moses instruct Aaron to approach the altar? Clearly, he'd have to approach the altar in order to offer the sacrifices. He'd been practicing this for 7 days. By now, his routine was smooth and precise. So why does Moses talk to him like a boss? And Rashi cites a midrash, an explanation, and explains the inner dialogue. Because Aaron was embarrassed and afraid to approach the altar. And Moses said to him, why are you embarrassed? This is what you were chosen for. God chose you to do it. And so, why was Aaron embarrassed? Why all of a sudden, suddenly, for 7 days he was okay, everything was great, and then for the seventh day, when he was supposed to do it for real, he's embarrassed. Because Aaron was 84 years old. And he was a sage, he was a dedicated leader. And he'd been given the role of a high priest, and he rehearsed the sacrificial procedure for 7 days, and all of a sudden he gets cold feet. And the reason that is brought down is that Aaron understood the impact of his final work, that offering the sacrifices would elicit God's presence to dwell in the tabernacle. And he was so overwhelmed with humility and trepidation, sensing that, you know, he was scared. Moses says, approach the altar. Shift your focus. You didn't choose to be the high priest. God chose you. Go and do your service. And Nachmanides, who was, you know, a big scholar, and he was around in the 13th century, and he was a Spanish scholar and a Kabbalist, and he gives another understanding in regards to this idea that Moses has to tell Aaron to approach the altar. And he cites another medrash and says like this. He explains that Aaron was a spectacular person. He had no sin to speak of, except for one. His inadvertent involvement in the creation of the golden calf. And he didn't take this mistake lightly. He thought about it on a constant basis all the time. And as he stood now inside the tabernacle preparing to culminate his work, he turned to the altar and he realizes with horror that the altar had transformed into a calf. The corner piece of the altar were the horns, and the body of the altar was the body of the calf. It only was a replica of what the golden calf was, what happened then.
Yep.
So how is this happening now? It was Satan was messing with Aaron. Now at the climax of Aaron's career, on the day that he had triggered the infusion of heaven and earth, everything was coming together. How could Aaron approach the altar when he saw the image of a calf in the place of the altar? How could the experience of sanctity and influence while staring at his ugliest moment in the face, his ugliest moment of his life, the Aaron stood paralyzed? And that is why, you know, it's even in our day-to-day life. Why is that, you know, when I need my power most, I often feel most inadequate. You know, I'm at the highest peak of my career or something, and something happened.
Yeah.
Moses understood. Approach the altar. Aaron, you were chosen for this. Strengthen your mind. Don't let Satan's agenda deflate your confidence. And then Aaron approached the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering. So it could be, you know, in our way, we've experienced the fear of Aaron. And always just at the wrong time. We're ready to jump into something. We're ready to do something, and we get cold feet. Whether it be in business, whether it be in religion, whether it be in our Jewish day-to-day life, whatever it may be, we always have to remember. Comes Moses and tells us, approach the altar. You were chosen for this. If God has given you this opportunity, then you're well suited for the job. Your role is no longer about you. It's about something much greater than you. And that's what Moses was telling Aaron. And that's such a powerful lesson that we can take to our lives. That sometimes when we think that we're having a little problem, or something's going wrong at the peak of the right time, that something should be amazing, shift your focus and concentrate and approach the altar. God has chosen us as his people, and we can do it. And that's what Moses was telling Aaron. I thought that was so striking, so meaningful, and we could definitely apply it to our day-to-day life.
Yeah. There's another nice pasuk there in this parsha. It says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles.
Absolutely. You know, and that's why we had on the Seder plate, we had, you know, the lettuce. There's one explanation about the lettuce,
yeah.
You know, the romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
That even though, you know, the bottom part is bitter and then it's sweet, that we never are supposed to, yes, even though we had freedom, but we're still fed. Even though that God destroyed our enemy, we still as a nation have the obligation to be able to still feel for our enemies. We don't have to like our enemies, but we're not supposed to rejoice and be happy. All our enemies were destroyed, this one party.
So that, that is something that was very, that was strong in this parasha for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a very, very important thing. It's a huge important thing.
So, Rabbi, services at Sha'arei Tzedek / Shamayim.
We have services 7 o'clock Friday evening and 9:30 Saturday morning, and 8:15 Sunday morning, followed by breakfast. And, like usual, it's open to all community, and we have minions, and it's a beautiful atmosphere and environment.
So, Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Thank you, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.